Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh my goodness, where'd you all come from? Praise God, amen. I sat down a little while ago, more so when I first came in the church, and sat down and I said, okay, I guess we're going to be a little sparse today, but praise God, the cat drug folk in. And it's good to see you all this morning. Everybody doing all right? Amen. Amen. Well, I do want to say good morning. And particularly good morning to all of the ladies in attendance. And this time I would really like for us to just give God some praise for our mothers, sisters, daughters, just the ladies in the house. Come on, can we do that? Make it sound good. Amen. Amen. That's the way my mother used to clap. Amen. Amen. Who happens to be here this morning? My mother is here. Praise God. And it's good to see my mother here this morning, my sister, a dear friend of mine, as well as my dear wife. So I made sure I had some ladies in the house this morning. Amen. So if there are no other ladies show up, I've got my ladies in the house. And it's a blessing to have them here. As we stand at the threshold of another Mother's Day celebration and the acknowledgement of the blessing God has given us in mothers, I would like to wish all of you mothers a very blessed and happy Mother's Day. And I would like to personally express my heartfelt gratitude to our gracious Heavenly Father for the creation of womankind. Men, you ought to say amen. 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 You may not be glad women are here. I am. Amen. Whether you've come to realize it or not, ladies, the Lord our God has blessed you. But sometimes the pains and trials and blunders and unreasonable demands of this life may cloud that truth. But ladies, you have been blessed. Church, say amen. And God has equally blessed the rest of us. Yeah, the menfolk, the boys, the sons, the brothers, the husbands and fathers, and uncles and grandfathers. God has blessed us with your presence and with your preciousness. Praise God. I still like feminine women. Somebody say amen. As I was preparing my message, I was reminded of a nursery rhyme that I learned as a little boy. We had those world book encyclopedias and the books down here, you know, with the nursery rhymes in them. And I learned this nursery rhyme. What are little girls made of? Made of? What are little girls made of? And what was it? That's what little girls are made of. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Really? Well, we all know a little bit different. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some girls didn't get that download. And you've met them. And have mercy, you may be one of them. Yeah. Keep the keys in the back door ready for me. Amen. But because there is no cookie cutter mold that fits all girls who are growing up to become women. And praise God for that. Since sin came into the world, life is not all about where you began anyway, but life is more about what God has called you to be. If you believe on his word, if you receive his son, surrender to his will and walk in his way. And I know that God still has an absolutely extraordinary plan for all of you ladies in this house today and who are watching from the broadcast. So in today's message, I'd like to celebrate you, encourage you, and challenge you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, There's so many things in creation, Father Lord, that you've created that absolutely amaze me. Some things, Lord, take my breath away. But, oh God, how wise you were, how loving you are, oh Father, to create womankind. All of the precious blessings that come with sisters, daughters, mothers, grandmothers, aunts. Oh, Father, Lord, you have blessed us. You said that it was not good for the man to be alone. And Lord, it wasn't just the wife. Hallelujah, you gave Adam a wife. But Lord, out of that relationship came all of these other relationships. And Father, Lord, you've blessed us with the tenderness of women, the wisdom, the kindness, the intuition of women. You've blessed us mightily. You've blessed us with our wives who stand by our side and help hold us up in the hard times, who, Lord, can put their hand on a husband's back when tears are rolling down his face, who can lift up the children with the banged up knee, who can talk with their teenage daughter when her heart is broken, talk with her son when he didn't make the team. Because, Father, Lord, you have blessed us with womankind, and you have blessed us with mothers. So I ask, O Father, this morning, forgive us, cleanse us, O God, and bless us, Lord, to receive what you would give us this morning. Lord, that we can take it away, be stronger, hallelujah, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Of course, it is the go-to chapter oftentimes on Mother's Day or the Sabbath before Mother's Day. And I'm going to go ahead and read it in your hearing where I can scoot along. And this is from the NASB. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall. I'd like to think to speak for just a little while on the Lord and the lady. Can you say that with me? The Lord and the lady. The first thing I want to talk about is the source for the lady. The first verse of Proverbs chapter 31 says this: the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. And so then that is what Proverbs 31 is all about. Nine verses share wisdom on how to be a wise king. And then the verses 10 through 31 shares wisdom on how to recognize a virtuous woman so you would find in her an excellent wife. These instructions are given by a godly mother who also would have been a godly wife. Now, who else would possess such wisdom that originates from the throne of God but a godly woman? Can you say amen? Again, Proverbs 31 verse 30, listen, is the summary and culmination of the preceding descriptions about this lady. It provides the answer to a myriad of questions that might easily arise about the noble, congratulatory illustrations laid out in the first, in those first verses, as it were, 10 through 29, that talk about this woman of exceptional character. Questions that may come up like, how did this lady become virtuous? Why is she so good and faithful to her husband? What motivates her to work willingly with her hands? What inspires her to the extent to extend her hands to the poor and reach out to the needy? How did strength and honor ever become her clothing? How did this lady get so good at being an entrepreneur, investing and reinvesting in her businesses? How is this lady so wise? Why is she not afraid of the seasons of life for her family? Why is she so confident? Why does she speak with such kind expressions? How is it that this lady keeps such a watchful eye for her children and her family? Why do her children rise up and call her blessed? And why does her husband pour out praise on this lady? How is this and why is this? Well, verse 30 answers the question in short order. Let me read it for you again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. In some, in the New King James, it says beauty is passing. So charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So the lady fears the Lord. Say that. The lady fears the Lord. Why? Why does the lady fear the Lord? Because the Lord and the lady are in a relationship. They're in a love relationship, in a right relationship. They're in a salvific relationship together. And through that relationship, the Lord has given forgiveness. He has cleansed. He has anointed. He has empowered the lady to be excellent and to be virtuous. He is the source for the lady. He is the one who gave her the power to be virtuous. And let me also add this. There are some women who resent an old raggedy preacher even preaching about the Proverbs 31 lady. So don't y'all throw me out yet. They say, you're just pushing marriage on women and domestic duties and pumping out babies. They say a woman can be intelligent, scholarly, brave, passionate, and help many people without being married or having children or any of that stuff that's in Proverbs chapter 31. That can be true. There have been many unmarried, childless, and quite frankly, godless women who have done wonderful things in the world. There are those who are also emphasized that Proverbs 31 was actually written instruction for men, and they're right. But let me ask you something. If God gives you some good instructions telling the man what kind of woman he ought to pick, don't you think you ought to study it too to see what kind of woman you need to be? Come on, somebody. Don't throw me out yet. So if that's where you stop, you're missing the greater point. The king's mother is telling him, when all is said and done, boy, you need a woman who is in a right relationship with the Lord. And some of you mothers have told your sons that. Amen, somebody? Amen. Why wouldn't God want his girls to read and learn from the same passage? Think about it. Roles, R-O-L-E-S, roles, domestic or otherwise, do not define a godly woman. Amen? But through her relationship with the Lord, he guides her in all of the roles to which he has called her to be in. And being a wife and mother are two of those roles that are extremely and uncompromisingly important. And we need to have more women that are focusing on those things. We're in trouble. All you got to do is watch the news. I wish I had a witness in here today. Let me quickly define the fear of the Lord, very quickly. What does the Bible mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord means to be in awe of God, to have a loving respect and reverence for God, to trust him at his word, to have a heart to obey him out of love for him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. Think about this. The Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing." And then Psalms, and that was Psalms 34, verse 9. Psalm 115, verse 11 says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Psalm 115, verse 12 and 13. "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." And then Psalm 128, verse 1, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his way." Again, the lady lady fears the Lord. The Lord satisfies every need of the lady who fears the Lord. The Lord is the help and shield for the lady who fears the Lord. The Lord will bless the ladies, both small and great, who fear the Lord. Amen, somebody. God has worked many wonders through ladies who fear the Lord. So now I want to talk about the standing of the lady, that position, her status. And I want to go back to Proverbs 31, verse 10 for this. Go back to Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. And I guess I need to get there myself. I thought I had it set up. Oh, well, hallelujah. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies?" Is that right? Now, the Authorized King James Version reads, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" We know that every woman is not a wife. Amen? But every wife is a woman, according to the Word of God. Who can find a virtuous woman? Virtuous is a powerful word in and of itself. Translated from the Hebrew word kayil, it means strength, might, power, wealth, able, valiant, virtuous, valor. Who can find a strong woman? Who can find a mighty woman? Who can find a powerful woman? Who can find a wealthy woman? And it's not talking about the money. Are y'all with me, somebody? Who can find an able woman? Or literally, who can find a woman of valor? That's her standing. She's a woman of valor. But who can find her? All you single young men, this is the kind of lady you need. Amen. Got one amen up in here. I need to have a conference and counsel with the rest of y'all after this service. Lord have mercy, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who can find her? Listen, the Bible says that her price is far above rubies. The kind of ruby classified among the most valuable of gems. So get this, the Lord proclaims this lady of Proverbs 31 to be more valuable than the most valuable of gems. That's her standing. She's powerful and she's priceless. Hallelujah, somebody. So men, not only is the lady hard to find, once you find her, you can't afford her. Come on, somebody. Huh? And some of you brothers found that out the hard way. And you still can't find your wallet. Amen? She's definitely hard to find in this day and age because, number one, the number of women who truly love the Lord and fear the Lord has steadily declined. Number two, the sister is priceless. You get this? You can't afford, think about this, you can't afford priceless because you can't put a price on priceless. That's why all of the godly ladies up in here today that we have as our wives are on loan because we can't afford them. Amen. Amen. We couldn't pay God for them, so he loaned them, hallelujah, to us for a short while. In simple terms, you cannot put a price on a godly woman. And I believe some ladies read these 22 verses from Proverbs 31:10-31. Some ladies read these 22 verses at face value, and they become depressed or discouraged. And I guess some get angry because no woman can be that good. No woman can be that holy. No woman can be that gifted. No woman can do all that. You might be thinking, if this is the model lady, if this is what God expects of me, I ain't gonna make it. I'll never be that smart or that strong. I'll never be that good at business. And what's a distaff anyway? Is that a stick? Why should I make my own clothes when I can get a good price for clothes at Walmart? Amen. I'm keeping that sister with me. You may even begin to think, if I have to do all this to please God, count me out. Now we're going to look at the story of the lady. And I'm going to switch gears on you a little bit here and tell you about, listen very carefully. Proverbs 31, 10, who can find a virtuous woman? The only named woman in the Bible, listen now, who is actually called virtuous, and she has a name. And the only woman who is named in the Bible to be virtuous, now we know there are many women in the Bible that are virtuous, but I'm trying to make a point here. The only named woman from that same Hebrew word, akayil, translated literally a woman of valor, her name is Ruth. It's Ruth. Blew me away. Hallelujah. Good study. And I wanted to share a little bit of her story because you need to understand that virtuous women don't start out virtuous. Did you hear that? They don't start out in the fear of the Lord or in a relationship with God. They're not your picture perfect Proverbs 31 lady. You've likely heard the full story of Ruth. I'm not about to read it this morning, have the pastor kick me out. I just want to give you a few snippets. It's an amazing story. Turn with me, if you will, to Ruth chapter 1. Very quickly here, Ruth chapter 1. And I'm going to read, in your hearing, verse 1 through 5. I got to keep moving. Now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two husbands, her two sons, and her one husband. Hallelujah, somebody. Here you have Ruth. Here you have Naomi. So the story of Ruth opens with a famine, a family, a foreign country, three females, three funerals, two friends that just happened to be mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. So Naomi, she finds out that the famine is over. Naomi heads back and tells her daughters-in-law to go back. Naomi heads back to Bethlehem when she hears that the famine is over. She tells her daughters-in-law to go back to their families and go back to their gods. Orpah turns back and goes back. Ruth decides not to even look back and tells Naomi, I've got your back. I'm going with you. Ruth chose faith and friendship over familiarity and kinship. Ruth had come to know the true God through 10 years of being around Ruth. I mean, being around Naomi. Praise God, she was witnessing to herself. Listen, but I want to ask you something. Have you ever been around anyone, Christian women I'm talking to, have you ever been around anyone for 10 years without telling them about Jesus? About who he is, about what he's done for the world, and what he's done for you. You know, Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And very quickly, I want to tell you this. I got a text from a dear lady, I won't say her name, I won't say where she's from, several days ago. And she was a former co-worker from many years ago. She's from China. And she called, and I called her and said, hello, we hadn't talked in many years. And she said, thank you. She said, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Did you get that? She said, what you told me about what you wanted for your daughter, you wanted your daughter to be with God and walk with Jesus. Now that's what I pray for my daughter. Can you be around someone for so long and not tell them about Jesus? Now you have two widows living in poverty in Bethlehem. Naomi thinks that she's lost favor with God, but she doesn't know that God is working things out for her good and for Ruth. Right now, you may be the lady coming back from a bad place. Are y'all with me today? You may be living in poverty. You may be bound by sins that just won't let you go. You may be left alone to fend for yourself and your children. But when you respond to the word of God and his wooing to draw you unto the Lord Jesus Christ, when you surrender your life to him, when you become that lady that fears the Lord, God has a wonderful way of making a way out of no way for you and your family. So while Naomi is hurting and grieving, Ruth decides to take to the fields to glean grain behind reapers so she can put food on the table for this mother-in-law that she just known for 10 years and herself. It was a humiliating and dangerous job, reaping and gleaning behind the reapers. But she asked Naomi to let her go work so that she might find grace. Not find a guy. Are y'all with me, somebody? Not find a handout. But she said, Ruth, listen, I want to go out in the field because I'm hoping that I will find grace. She wasn't working for grace. Hallelujah. She was working in appreciation for the grace she was already getting and hoping she could find some more. Amen. Just so happens that she lands in the field of Boaz, Naomi's rich kinsman. We like rich folk. Some of them. Yeah. He notices there's a new girl in the field. He asks about her. He hears about how Ruth left father and mother and country and traveled some 60 to 75 miles that journey from Moab to Bethlehem with Naomi so she could take care of Naomi. He meets her. He's drawn to her and begins to protect and provide for her and Naomi. I think Ruth found grace, y'all. Amen? Listen, but Ruth doesn't stop working and start flirting. Come on, somebody. Huh? Ruth doesn't stop working and start flirting. She had found grace and much more than she'd hoped for or even imagined while faithfully working the field. She was back out there the next day and the next and the next. And this Boaz wasn't just a rich man. Boaz was a godly man. Hallelujah. Ruth told Naomi all about her meeting Boaz, and Naomi wanted to help Ruth find a home. So one night, after some counsel from Naomi, now don't y'all do this at home, okay? So one night, after some counsel from Naomi, Ruth got dressed up and went down to the threshing floor. I always wondered, Pastor, why did girlfriend get dressed up to go down to that dusty place? But anyway, she slipped, listen, when she got there, listen very carefully, don't go back and lie on me. She slipped under the covers at his feet. She slipped under the covers at his feet. And when Boaz awakened and asked who she was, she said to him, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a redeemer kinsman. Hallelujah. Listen, in doing that, she had actually proposed marriage to Boaz. Y'all hear me, somebody? Did your wife propose? Okay, I won't ask that. Amen. The Lord was in her story. Say amen. His plan of salvation for the whole world was in her story. The forthcoming birth of David was in her story. And the prophesied birth of the Messiah, Yeshua, was in her story. He was actually working his will in Ruth and Boaz, and neither of them were aware of it. Hallelujah. And while Boaz was talking to Ruth that night, he said this about Ruth. This is powerful. Listen, Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Blessed are, this is what he said to Ruth that night. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. Now watch this. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Is that good, y'all? Listen, is it all right, ladies, if the whole neighborhood knows you love God? Amen. Is it all right if the whole neighborhood knows that you honor your husband and take care of your... Is that all right? Is it all right to put Jesus on that? Yes. Hallelujah. So, she, listen now, when she was called virtuous, a woman of excellence, a woman of valor, when was she called that? Think about it. She was called virtuous while she was living in poverty. She didn't have her own business. She wasn't married, but she wasn't going after young men either. Come on, somebody. She didn't have any children. She was called virtuous because she was a lady who feared the Lord. And just because a woman doesn't, listen, just because a woman does great things in this life, academically, athletically, business-wise, or otherwise, that doesn't make her a virtuous woman in the eyes of the Lord. But watch out now, because just because a lady is of meager means and doesn't really have much of nothing, doesn't mean you can't be a virtuous woman. Hallelujah. It's all about the lady being in a relationship with the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why I'm saying that the virtuous woman was not born virtuous. She didn't start out virtuous. God had to make her virtuous. And listen, ladies, the illustrations and instructions in Proverbs 31 are not about you being all that, but about you living in the fear of the Lord so that he can make you all that he wants you to be. And then, lastly, the synchronization of the Lord. Now, this a synchronization is an operation or activity of two or more things at the same time. So stay with me, because I got to tell you about one more lady. Now, you heard that Ruth was called virtuous. She was called a woman of valor. Let me tell you about one more lady. When the Lord was preparing Joshua and the children of Israel for the conquest of Jericho, Joshua sent two men on a mission to spy out the land. They came to the house of Rahab. Amen? Now, Rahab was a hoochie mama, living on the wall, managing some business engagement with some girls in a red light district in Jericho. Am I just talking straight to you all today? Until she heard the word. Huh? Until she heard the word, believed the word, and surrendered to the God of the word. And you may say, what word are you talking about? Did Rahab hear some preacher? Was she reading the scripture? Well, the Bible doesn't say she did, but it did record of what she said to the spies when she hid them under the stalks of flax. Listen to her testimony. This is what she said in Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. This is what Rahab said. Now, before they lay down, the Bible said, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, listen, I know that the Lord has given you the land. They hadn't even come into the land. But I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard, listen, we have heard, faith comes by. Faith comes by. She said, we have heard, hallelujah, what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any one of us because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth. This is a prostitute talking who've been born again in her heart. Are y'all with me, somebody? Amen. Amen. Listen, let me tell you this. God had been drawing Rahab's heart nearer to his heart by that same testimony that she gave. Listen, that same testimony of what God had done and who he is. Faith comes by hearing. She was now a woman who feared the Lord. She changed gods. She got the right one this time. And she changed. When she changed gods, she changed sides. You know what? Let me tell you something. When you change gods, you'll change sides. Hallelujah. And so she got the right one this time. She was on her way to the promised land, and she didn't have a clue what the promised land was. All she knew was that she wanted Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, to be her God. She wanted to be saved, and she wanted her entire family saved. In fact, she made a deal with the spies. Listen, listen, when you come in here and you all bust all this stuff up, I want you to save me and my family. Do you want your family saved? You know, I'm going to tell you something real quick. Sometimes we're just kind of too shy to witness to our family. You know, well, you said something about Jesus. You're being judgmental. No, I'm not. I love them, and I want them to be saved. And she wanted all of her household to be saved. Rahab had never even read Proverbs 31. Are y'all with me, somebody? They didn't exist, though, that list. But God made her a virtuous lady. God made her a woman of valor. And I doubt she had any sewing machines in her line of work. Amen. She had plenty of beds, no sewing machines. But wait a minute. I'm not quite done with Rahab. Rahab had a son. His name was Boaz. Her son's name was Boaz. Listen. Rahab the harlot, Rahab the prostitute, Rahab the red light district lady had a son named Boaz. And the Bible says there in Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, listen to this. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. But you look back, and when you go look up this word in the Hebrew, that word great wealth, that word is the same word that is used for Ruth in calling her a woman of valor. So the Bible is calling Boaz a man of valor. Are y'all with me? Listen, so what God was doing in his providence, he had synchronized the life of a man of valor with the life of a woman of valor so they would take it, so that they would take part in the fulfillment of prophecy. Together they were the great grandparents of David, and they would be in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz was a son of a former prostitute and idol worshiper who taught him to fear the true God. Ruth, who was from a cursed race of idol worshipers, was introduced to the same God by the woman Naomi. Hallelujah. It's not what you know, it's who you know and who you need to know, and that is the Lord. So listen, ladies, as I'm going to head for the closing and take my seat, this message has been about the Lord and the lady. The Lord and the woman of valor, and ladies, that lady is you. Did you hear me? That lady is you. When you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have received him as your personal Lord and Savior, you become a virtuous woman. You become a woman of valor. Listen, I didn't mean for you to be all of that. The Proverbs 31 lady is a lady who trusts that there was nothing too hard for God. She was depending on him to give her the love and wisdom she needs to take care of her husband and her children. And if and when they come, if she even had a husband. But in the meantime, she won't be going after the young men, rich or poor. She'll keep her body pure as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is her true worship. She's the lady that will do her husband good and not evil all the days of his life. She's the lady that looks well to the ways of her household, taking care of her children with eyes and ears wide open. She's the lady whose children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she's going to rejoice when Jesus comes again. She knows that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but this lady is a lady that fears the Lord. So I didn't come here today, ladies. You notice that I didn't go to Proverbs 31 and read the whole thing. In fact, the other sister read it. I didn't come here today to read the Proverbs 31 list and tell you that you better get with it. That's not what I came here for. But I did come to share that word on God's, on the Lord's presence and his workings in and through a godly woman. I did come to celebrate the lady who fears the Lord. I came to praise God for the lady whom the Lord has saved and transformed. If you're one of them, just raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then as I close and take my seat, I'm going to ask if the pastor will come. Pastor, do you mind if we play a pastoral prayer for the ladies? And ladies, I'm going to ask that you all would stand this morning. Just stand. If you would just stand this morning. Hallelujah. And I know that there has been a prayer, but I just want to ask that that would be a prayer that came from the pulpit from a man. Amen. On your behalf. Praise God. Let us bow
our heads. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the reminder of the image of a virtuous woman today. And Lord, all of us have been blessed by a woman in our lives. We have been blessed by a virtuous mother, or perhaps a virtuous wife. We have been blessed by a virtuous friend, women that have dedicated their lives and surrendered to you. And because of that, you have transformed them into what you want them to be. Thank you for the example of these virtuous women in our lives. Thank you for the example of the virtuous women here in this church today. Oh Lord, those that are standing right now, I pray that a special blessing over them. Wives, mothers, friends, sisters, daughters, oh Father, we pray that your Spirit may guide them and direct them, that you will bless them in a mighty way, and that we, Lord, who are part of their lives each day, may show our love and appreciation for the blessing that it is to have a virtuous woman in our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.